on Joseph. For this, we're going to be looking at Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. Matthew chapter 1, verses 18 to 25. You're welcome to pay attention to the words on screen. You can grab one of the pew Bibles in front of you and turn to Matthew chapter 1. You're welcome to open up your own Bible, or if you have an app on your phone, if that's your main source for Scripture, open that up and turn to Matthew chapter 1. My hope today is that maybe you find something in the Christmas story regarding Joseph and his circumstances, something that sticks out to you, something that maybe you hadn't considered about the Christmas story. Also, that your picture of who Jesus is, what he's done for you, just how great and awesome his birth is, so that your picture will be expanded, so that you will worship God all the more over Christmas. Let's pray, and then we're going to look at Matthew chapter 1, 18 up to 25. Gracious God, we thank you for your holy word. We thank you that everything we need to know about salvation in your son Jesus is found within the pages of this awesome and holy book, Lord. We know that you truly spoke to the prophets, apostles, and teachers. You guided them by the power of your Holy Spirit to write down these words. And Lord, we know that we can truly call this your word to us. Lord, we thank you for giving us the opportunity to look into it again today so that we grow in faith and in the knowledge of your son, Jesus. We pray for this in Jesus' name. Amen. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph. But before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. But after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, "Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet: "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel," which means God with us. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. But he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. This is the word of the Lord. One realization or bigger picture moment for me came with that video. I never really considered Joseph and his love and care and cherishing and joy of Jesus. But I'm sure it was there. He said yes to this whole thing. And he embraced Jesus as his own. And we'll talk about that a little bit later. How does Joseph in the scriptures embrace Jesus as his own? Well, we start off with verse 18. This is how the birth of Jesus Christ came about. His mother Mary was pledged to be married to Joseph, but before they came together, she was found to be with child through the Holy Spirit. First off, as we get to this story, we recognize that we're talking about history here, not mythology. We're talking about a real event, real people, a very real Jesus. So that's the first thing that we notice. The second thing, as I was doing some research on this passage, Matthew is telling us about Jesus' birth. That's the English word that is chosen here in the translation, birth. But the actual word that's used in Greek, you might find to be really interesting. The word that's used in Greek is Genesis. Genesis. This is the Genesis of Jesus. Genesis, of course, is the very first book of the Bible, and it means origin or formation. So there is a connection between Jesus' birth and Genesis in the first chapter, actually. And we'll get to that in a few verses, but I just wanted to draw that out and get you thinking. There is a connection with Genesis in the first book of the Bible and the Genesis of Jesus, the birth of Jesus. In this story, we are also introduced to Mary and Joseph, and we find out that Mary, she is pledged, is one English word, or engaged, or betrothed to Joseph. Now, today, when you're engaged to someone and things go bad, you just cancel the wedding and move on. There's no legal connection when you're engaged. But it was different in this time. In this time, being betrothed or pledged or engaged, it was a legal thing. You were basically married at this point, and it took a legal divorce to stop the betrothal. And the way that it worked in those times is you would get engaged, and then you have this legal agreement, like, it's almost marriage, like I said, and the wife would go in and continue living with her parents for 1 year. So they would live separated for 1 year in this time of engagement. This was a time of faithfulness and purity for them both, for Mary and for Joseph, not just to each other, but before God also. So they would have had no intimate relations between them during this year of betrothal. Well, as we know the Christmas story, Mary and Joseph encounter a big problem. And Joseph encounters a big problem. Mary's pregnant. And if the baby is Joseph's, then he broke the law. And he would have been seen as unrighteous and a lawbreaker. And Mary, too, would have broken that agreement. And she would also have been seen as unrighteous and a lawbreaker. If the baby's not Joseph's, there's other implications. If the baby is from another man, then Joseph could take things to the full extent of the law. And if the full extent of the law was taken, well, what is that? It would mean death for Mary if things were brought to the full extent of the law. But that's not what took place. Something awesome, something mysterious, and something definitely holy took place instead. And here we have a super important, really super big deal for us in the church, for Christians. Mary was not impregnated by another man. She was with child through the Holy Spirit. She was with child through the Holy Spirit. This is something that, well, for all of Christianity, there have been people trying to deny the virgin birth, deny that Jesus was born in Mary through the power of the Holy Spirit. This is one of those essential doctrines of the church and something super important for us to continue to hold on to when it comes to Scripture. basically, if we boil it down, the Father is God. And because the Father is God, Jesus is fully God. His mother Mary, she's human. And because he's born of a human mother, Jesus is also fully human. Jesus is fully God, and Jesus is fully human. And as fully God, Jesus can pay the eternal penalty for sin on our behalf, because he is fully God. And at the same time, because he is fully human, he can be our substitute. He can take our place. We deserve the wrath of God because of sin, and Jesus can be our substitute. That's what he does on the cross for us. That's the good news of the gospel, that we can't save ourselves, but we need help, and Jesus is that help. Fully God, fully man, he can pay the penalty for our sins, and he can do it and be our substitute because he is a human being. All of this goes back to the virgin birth. Goes back to this whole thing about Mary being impregnated by the power of the Holy Spirit. All goes back to that. And once you cut that out, you lose the good news. So it's super important, doctrine of the church. Now, what I find interesting here, maybe you hadn't considered this before. I never really thought about it, but I'll put this in Gen Z terms. God let Joseph cook a little bit here. Or in other words, I find this interesting. God let Joseph deal with this whole pregnancy thing without really knowing what's going on until after he found out. Thought that was interesting. And I wonder if God does that so Joseph's standing before God, Joseph's righteousness as a man of faith is highlighted all of the more. Joseph found out about the pregnancy before he knew anything about all of this Mary being pregnant by the power of the Holy Spirit stuff. God let him cook on this stuff for a little while. Verse 19. Because Joseph, her husband, was a righteous man and did not want to expose her to public disgrace, he had in mind to divorce her quietly. At this point, Joseph doesn't know anything about what's going on with Mary or why she's pregnant. But Joseph, he was a righteous man. He walked with God. You could go back to what, Psalm 1? He walked the way of the righteous and not the way of the sinner. He was law-abiding, he was obedient, and he was upright in character. All that Joseph knows at this point is that Mary, the lady that he is to marry, or is betrothed to, she is pregnant, and it's not him. He's not guilty of breaking this bond before God or before the people. And if he wants to save his good name, he will need to divorce her before they end up getting into the full marriage. Again, he's a righteous man. He wants to do right by the Lord. But at the same time, he is also a compassionate and loving man too. So, rather than take things to the full extent of the law, which he had the right to do in those times in Israel, he decides to pursue a quiet or secret divorce. He wanted to, he wanted Mary to avoid public humiliation and possible death and all of these things. Joseph, he is merciful. Merciful, just like God is merciful. And I think all of this is to indicate for us that God chose the right guy for this. He chose this Joseph fellow, this righteous man, and Joseph is going to be Jesus' dad here on earth. through adoption. And that's what verse 20 alerts us to and him to. Verse 20, but after he had considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream and said, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary home as your wife, because what is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. Joseph, we hear, considered all of this. He considered all of this. Joseph isn't one to make rash decisions. He was pondering on what to do about this whole situation. He didn't fly off the handle. He didn't run before the council and give Mary over to them or anything like that. He considered all of this. You know, our God is slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. And we see some of that in Joseph here. So while he was pondering his decision, what he was going to do, how he was going to handle this, he was visited by an angel of the Lord. Now, here at Christmas time, we're so used to hearing about the angels in this story, we don't really get the whole shock and awe of all of this. Do you know who else was visited by an angel of the Lord? Abraham, the founder of all the Jewish faith. Abraham was visited by an angel of the Lord. Moses was visited by an angel of the Lord. And others, like Gideon, were visited by an angel of the Lord. And here now, Joseph is visited by an angel of the Lord. What company Joseph is now mingling in. An angel of the Lord comes and visits him, just like an angel of the Lord came before Abraham and Moses, these pillars of the faith. Joseph gets that visitor too. And the angel, when the angel visits him, the angel is very specific. Joseph, son of David. Joseph, son of David. Well, one of Matthew's goals, the writer of this gospel, one of his goals is to highlight just how God had been working throughout all the ages to bring about his eternal plan. This whole Jesus thing, it's not a last-minute rescue plan or anything like that. It's his eternal plan, and he had spoken to the prophets long ago about how all of this was going to take place. And Matthew, in his gospel, he is super excited about it. So he makes sure to continue to bring in all of those references, all of those connections. And one of those is that Jesus would be in the line of David. And Joseph was in the line of David. It's an important prophecy fulfillment that the Messiah would come from his line. But how will that work? Joseph's not the biological father. How is that going to work? Well, we're going to get to that in a few more verses, but I've had you thinking about the Genesis thing. Ponder on this too. How is it that Jesus can be in the line of Joseph and Joseph's not his biological father? How does that work? All right. We're going to get to the Genesis thing now. The angel tells Joseph, don't be afraid. What is going to be conceived is going to come through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit. And this is our Genesis connection. Listen to this. Listen, and when you listen to this, this is the first few verses of Genesis. Pay attention to the Holy Spirit's role in creation. Because the Holy Spirit's mentioned right at the beginning. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Now the earth was formless and empty. Darkness was over the surface of the deep. And the Spirit of God was hovering over the waters. And God said, "Let there be light." And there was light. Well, our link here with the Holy Spirit is in Genesis, the Holy Spirit was hovering over the waters of creation. And in the same way, mysteriously, of course, we can't explain this, but mysteriously, the Holy Spirit is hovering over Mary so that she becomes pregnant with Jesus. It's a beautiful picture. The Genesis of Jesus, the Word made flesh, the light of life, born as a man, the light in the darkness. Now, for some instructions for Joseph, this is verse 21. The angel continues saying, "She will give birth to a son, and you are to give him the name Jesus, because he will save his people from their sins." So the angel lets him know that he's going to have a boy. It's going to be a son. And now this part is also pretty interesting. It's up to the parents, usually, to name the child. But here in this case, God the Father instructs Joseph through the angel of the Lord that he, the Lord Almighty, the God of everything, is going to name this boy. And his name's going to be Jesus. But Joseph will play a role in this. Joseph is the one that's going to stand before the people on the day that this baby's born and say, this boy right here, this is Jesus. It's in this way that Joseph becomes the adopted father of Jesus. This is also how Jesus is in the line of David. Once Joseph says, "This boy right here is Jesus," he's claiming him as his own. He's claiming him as his own. This boy in my arms, this is Jesus. And everybody in Israel would know that Joseph is claiming this boy. And that way, that the son, his adopted son Jesus, he's holding in his arms here, he's saying to the world, this is my son. And in that way, Jesus is in the line of David because Joseph claims him. Now, the name Jesus is actually, if you spell it out in Hebrew, it's actually Joshua. Or maybe you've heard Yeshua, which means God is salvation. And Jesus saves from sin. We know the rest of the story, that Jesus rescues us from the curse of sin and death, and he accomplishes this on the cross by dying for us. So Jesus saves from sin. We can't save ourselves. That's why Jesus came. That's the whole good news. We can't save ourselves. Jesus came to save us. Verse 22. "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had said through the prophet." These are the facts. All of this took place. This isn't some sort of made-up story. This is the truth about what happened with all of this whole Jesus stuff. And again, Matthew has this great concern about fulfilling the Old Testament prophecy, seeing the grand story of God, the eternal plan of salvation, talking about how the Old Testament and New Testament, it's not two different stories, it's all connected, and God is working to bring his people to himself by saving them from their sins through Jesus. So in verse 23, we have a quote from Isaiah the prophet, which says, "The virgin will be with child and will give birth to a son, And they will call him Emmanuel, which means God with us. Again, the eternal plan of salvation is the virgin birth, fully God, fully man. And in this way, we can call Jesus Emmanuel, which means God with us. And this whole idea about God with us, that Jesus is fully man and also fully God, this whole idea that God walked among us is blasphemy to all the other religions out there. Islam, Hinduism, Buddhism, the New Age movement, all of them would deny that Jesus is the Messiah, the Christ, fully God, fully human, the second person of the Trinity. All of that would be denied. But that's who we know Jesus to be. That's what Scripture teaches about Jesus. Again, that, like the doctrine of the virgin birth, who Jesus is, that's another one of those core foundational doctrines of the church about who Jesus is. And when we get out of step with that, we get out of step with the good news. All right, verse 24. When Joseph woke up, he did what the angel of the Lord had commanded him and took Mary home as his wife. Remember, Joseph, he is an upright, God-fearing man. And he followed God's plan for all of this. He said yes, and he did what God commanded him to do. He took Mary home as his wife, even though she was pregnant. Verse 25, but he had no union with her until she gave birth to a son, and he gave him the name Jesus. Matthew makes sure that gets pointed out. He gave him the name Jesus. He adopted Jesus as his own. Jesus is now a son of David because Joseph said his name. I'm calling him Jesus. Again, Joseph, merciful, compassionate, obedient. And imagine his joy. I thought the video did a good job of pointing that out. Imagine his joy, assurance from an angel of the Lord. The same kind of thing that angel that stopped by to talk with Abraham and stopped by to talk with Moses came by and stopped by to talk with him. Imagine taking part in raising the Savior of the world. Joseph isn't just an afterthought in the story, but he is a big part, and he was chosen by God to do this very task. And it was his joy. He got to name the boy. This is Jesus. Well, what is your joy at Christmas? Like I said, my hope today is that your picture of who Jesus is and just how great his birth is, I hope that your picture is expanded. And with an expanded picture of Jesus, my hope is that you will worship the Lord even more passionately this Christmas, considering this great and awesome story about how our Savior came to be with us, Emmanuel. Shall we pray? Gracious God, we ask for help today. Bubble up in us the same kind of joy that we see in these awesome stories about what happened when Jesus was born. Lord, we think about the joy of Joseph and Mary. And as we read through the Gospels, others that are part of this story too, that, you brought them in, and they became a part of this great thing that you have done for us. the best thing that's ever happened to us, Jesus saving us from our sins. Lord, we pray for all of this in Jesus' name. Amen.